98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Did you make your first sports bet today, Gambo? Did you lay down a few shekels?
I did not.
No?
I'm not a gambler. Like, I don't want to give anybody my money. I kind of like my money, so I don't really want to give somebody else my money.
But you can make more money, Gambo.
Or you can lose.
You just got to know when to hold up, to fold up.
Know when to hold them and know when to fold them?
Know when to walk away, know when to run
up
to win.
I'm sure it's fun if you could do it in, what's the word I'm looking for?
Moderation.
My brain doesn't work very well sometimes.
That's okay.
If you do it in moderation, it's fun. The question the thing that I would worry about the most is you have a bad day and you say, okay, I'm only going to lose, spend $100 this week, and you lose it all in one day. You're like, all right, screw that. I need to make that back. So I think there's a danger to it, and I would just warn everybody to just be careful. Be careful. I'm all for gambling because I'm not the moral police. I believe that everybody should have a right to do with their money what they want to do. If you want to gamble, gamble. I'm completely on board with them having legalized gambling. 100% on board with it because, again, it's your money. You do what you want with it.
It's funny.
Be careful not to lose your milk money.
We were talking pre-show about those little warnings that they kind of run underneath the fact that you can now wager on sports in Arizona. And you sound like one of those warnings. You sound like one of those, it's like, hey, sports gambling's here. And by the way, if you need help because you have a gambling problem, please call this number. We're going to be like a commercial for gambling here. I'm going to be the guy who's like, gambling's here. And you're going to be that guy who says, if you need help, please call this number.
What you're saying is you're the devil on the shoulder and Gambo is the angel
on the shoulder. Typically so opposite from how we run the Burns and Gambo
It's a role reversal.
It really is. I'm never the devil and Gambo is never the angel. But when it comes to this, it's Freaky Friday, man. We have flipped roles. Gambo is the angel, and I'm the one who's like, come on, man, put $10 down on tonight's game. What's it going to hurt? You'll be fine.
I don't know that I'll ever have an account opened. I would think it's unlikely that I have
an account. I would think it's unlikely you'll have an account, and I think it's very likely I will have
several?
One. One. Right. Jordan and I were talking. We'll get into this a little bit later. I'll probably...
The guys in the Web Flower was giving me all sorts of strategy about the apps to download and whatnot.
The guys in the Web Flower would know. They've got nothing better to do over there but to talk about this stuff. You've got something if you want to wager on. Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
The NFL opener is tonight. The world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with all 22 starters returning from last year's squad.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable when you frame it like that. Opening up the season tonight against Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. The NFL season, Gambo, is here.
Yeah, and what we're looking for here is, can anybody repeat? It is crazy when you look at repeat winners in the Super Bowl. In the 60s, you had the Packers. In the 70s, you had the Dolphins and the Steelers and the Steelers again. In the 80s, you had the 49ers. In the 90s, you had the Cowboys and the Broncos. In the 2000 decade, you had the Patriots. You haven't had anybody since. It's been 16 years since you had a repeat Super Bowl champion. So, like, when we talk about parity, like, this is what they wanted, right? They wanted this. Nobody's going on runs anymore. The last time somebody did it was Tom Brady and the Patriots. But you're going back to 2003, 2004. So that's what everybody's looking at. Can they repeat as Super Bowl champions? Because it was a thing of the norm. I mean, I was born in 66. I don't remember the Packers or even the Dolphins. But, man, I remember the Steelers in the 70s, mm-hmm. the 49ers in the 80s, the Cowboys in the 90s, John Elway in the 90s, and then Tom Brady in the 2000. But it's very difficult for a number of reasons, it's very difficult to repeat.
Yeah, I remember, it's funny, thinking about the Bucks specifically and thinking about reasons why, back when we were talking about whether Larry Fitzgerald was going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and one of the reasons that was constantly getting thrown out there was that they might need a new motivation to get them back to the Super Bowl. They might need a new motivation to win the Super Bowl, sort of a, hey, let's do it for Fitz kind of a thing. And I remember when we were at least talking about the possibility of Fitz going there, that was one of the reasons that we were throwing out there, is that those guys might need an extra carrot at the end of the hook to kind of get them. It seems silly to me that you would need external motivation like that to get to the Super Bowl. But you're right, it's hard. And it's, but what makes this so unique and what makes it so different compared to previous Super Bowl champs trying to repeat, they brought everybody back. Not kind of everybody, not sort of everybody, not nearly everybody. Every freaking body is back on that team, and that never happens, Gambo. It doesn't work like that. So I'm trying to factor that into the equation to know what that means in terms of whether I think Tampa Bay is going to repeat or not this year.
It makes it a lot easier to repeat, the continuity, the chemistry. It's just, you know, that whole thing on you're the hunted now, right? You know, you're the hunted. Look, I mean, let's be honest. Outside of the Super Bowl, all of those playoff games were close. I mean, the Washington game was a one-score game in the wild card. The New Orleans game was a 10-point game. The Packers game, you know, and all of those games were on the road, by the way. I mean, they went on the road to Washington because, remember, you know, they didn't win a division, and, you know, Washington did. So they had to go on the road and play Washington, then on the road and play New Orleans, then on the road and play Green Bay. And all of those games were close. They beat the Packers by 5 points. But then Kansas City, they just, man, with the 2 weeks to prepare,
yeah,
they blew the doors off of Kansas City in that game.
Yeah, 31-9, the final score in that game. It's Mike Evans yesterday talking about being on a Super Bowl contender again.
I'll say so. You know, I always try to play my hardest, and the game's fun for me. But winning that Super Bowl, knowing that it's attainable, I mean, it definitely gives you more motivation.
Took a screenshot of this. Trey Wingo tweeted this out. And actually, Trey Wingo is or was in town as one of the openings for one of the sports books here in town. I believe at Chase Field. He tweeted out, here we are at the start of the season, and what we saw from the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, was it just the beginning? And he says, he points out, the Buccaneers last year started the season 7-5. They didn't lose after that. And they won those games by an average of nearly 15 points per game.
Until the playoffs.
Until the playoffs. And he's factoring in the playoffs. But yes, there were a couple of close games in the playoffs, as you point out.
They were up 28-23 with 5 minutes left against Washington. Against Washington.
Oh, I remember thinking that Washington might get him in that game. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember thinking that. Yeah.
You know, in the New Orleans game, I mean, it was, you know, it was that game was 20-13. Late third quarter, and then it was 20-13 New Orleans. The Saints were up by 7 late third quarter, and then Tampa Bay scored to tie it in the third. They went into the fourth quarter and that game was tied, and then they got a field goal and they got a touchdown and they won by 10. But it was late third quarter and New Orleans was losing, so they pulled out some close games. But they got everybody back. They're trying to repeat. I think that it's a positive. Like, it's not a negative that maybe new blood could change some things, but I think everybody's going to be motivated to repeat as champions because it hasn't been done in so long.
I know the answer to this. I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
2 days ago, we had the conversation based off of what we saw in week one of the college football season. Alabama or the field? And you and I both agreed Alabama. You can have the field. I'll take Alabama.
Yes.
If I offered you the same thing with Tampa Bay.
No.
I agree. 100%. No. It's too hard. It's the team, you mentioned the Patriots as the last team to do it. The one that came the closest to doing it were the Seattle Seahawks. And it was Malcolm Butler, Marshawn Lynch, the goal line, Russell Wilson, right? If that play doesn't happen, then it's the Seattle Seahawks that are the most recent team to repeat as Super Bowl champs. The Patriots also had a chance, but they ran into Nick Foles and that Eagles team a few years ago. There have been teams that have had chances, fleeting chances here and there. Those are the two that have come the closest. If you gave me the choice of Tampa Bay or the field, I would absolutely take the field 100 times out of 100.
Let me ask you this. What great athlete Do you remember watching at the end of his career and you were just like, oh, my God, you should have retired. I can't believe you're playing. You can't play anymore.
A lot of them.
A lot of them.
Most of them.
Is there anybody that comes to mind? Is there anybody? Like, for me, man, watching Muhammad Ali at the end, oh, it was just, you know, it was tough. The Trevor Burbank fight, it was tough watching Ali at the end. Willie Mays with the Mets. Steve Carlton, oh, Steve Carlton couldn't pitch anymore. And you look at these, like, why are you playing? You know, a lot of athletes hang on too long. Tom Brady, I don't know if we are going to get to see Tom Brady fail. I don't know if we're going to get to see Tom Brady like, oh, my God, he can't play anymore. He's terrible. He had 40 touchdowns last year, 12 interceptions, and 4,600 yards. I mean, at his age, he's 44 years old. I mean, it's possible that he will retire and we will. And the one guy I remember that was, you know, that was still kind of great was Jordan, right? He went to the Wizards, came back with the Wizards. And he was, you know, but he wasn't a shell of his former self.
He was decent. He wasn't an embarrassment. He wasn't embarrassing himself.
But how many times do you see guys go out on top? Tom Brady's 44 years old. And most of the time with great, great athletes. Look, even Larry Fitzgerald, let's be honest, he wasn't any good.
No.
He wasn't any good.
I mean,
he wasn't helping.
Peyton Manning went out on top, but he wasn't playing his best football at the end. He was a shell of himself when the Broncos won that Super Bowl. Even Elway, I think, was not playing at the like typical Elway standards that we're used to. Whereas Tom Brady, I don't know if we're ever going to see him be less than this version of himself. And then from the Cowboys' perspective, as always, a lot of expectations on that team, a lot of pressure on that team. When we come back, though, on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll turn our attention to the local NFL team as they get ready to open up their season against the Titans. The assumption that it was his playing days in Arizona would be limited with the addition of Zaven Collins, but according to his defensive coordinator, Jordan Hicks' role could be a lot more than any of us expected. You'll hear from him next on the Burns and Gambo Show. So while the NFL opener is tonight with the Bucs taking on the Cowboys, and that game kicks off at about 5:20, we've got the Arizona Cardinals and the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Very anticipated, right? Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Bring it on. So many things to watch for, whether it's Kyler, year three, Rondell Moore, A.J. Green, et cetera, et cetera. Defensively, we're going to be looking at those linebackers, Gambo. We're going to be looking at Zaven Collins. We're going to be looking at Isaiah Simmons, especially Zaven Collins, given how much is on his plate. But one of the things, and I think you're with me on this, that I'm really going to be trying to pay attention to, and I won't know for sure until we get the box score after the game. How many snaps Jordan Hicks plays? How often is he on the field? How often is he out there to facilitate and help things with the transition? He was named one of the 9 captains yesterday, and that was interesting to see, to say the least, from the Cards.
Listen, I want to give him all the credit in the world. For a guy that was told you can't compete for a starting job, and then going through the whole, well, trade me thing, and now all of a sudden, like, he's going to be a big part of the defense? Kudos to him.
Yeah.
Like, kudos to him. He must have worked his ass off. Like, instead of just taking it lying down, right? Like, oh, woe is me. This sucks. I can't wait to get out of Arizona. No, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work. Everything that Zaven said about him has been great. It seems like he's been an awesome teammate. And he's working hard. Vance and Cliff have both spoke highly on him. Listen, I give the credit. This could have went two ways. You know, it could have went two ways. It could have went, you know what? Screw you guys. You don't value me. You don't want to play me. Okay, screw you guys. I'm not going to give you my all. Or I'm going to work my ass off. And, it's like the college kid that transfers all the time. Oh, you got beat out by somebody. I'm transferring. What do you mean you're transferring? You don't want to work hard to beat the other guy out? Nope, I just want to transfer. I want to go somewhere I can play.
Go somewhere where I know I'm going to play, right?
Yeah, this is that's the world we live in today. I mean, if anybody gets beat out in anything, they just quit. You know, that's what they do. They quit. You know, not like, hey, what can I do to get better, coach? What can I do to beat this kid out? I mean, It's just, you know what, then I quit. If you can play the other guy, I quit. Jordan Hicks didn't quit. Jordan Hicks must have worked extremely hard. I give him a lot of credit because no one anticipated that we'd be where we are right now, anticipating Jordan Hicks playing a lot.
Vance Joseph, the Cardinals defensive coordinator, met the media today. There was a lot of conversation about Jordan Hicks and the linebackers, and Vance Joseph said, yes, Hicks is going to have a big role this season.
He's going to have a huge role for our team. You know, obviously he's played 2,000 snaps in this defense, so you can't discount that. And he's still a good player for us. You know, and every game plan is going to be different. You know, so some game plans he's going to be on the field with Isaiah and and Zaven, and sometimes he won't be. You know, so every week it's going to be a different plan to play the best guys for that game. You know, but he's going to be a big part of what we're doing defensively.
Which is interesting because here I am talking about looking at the box score on Sunday night, wondering what percentage of snaps he's going to play. And next Sunday, it could be a totally different number. And the next Sunday after that, it could be a totally different number. I mean, doesn't sound like there's going to be a set number for him to play. But again, the word that Vance Joseph used, huge. He's going to play a huge role for that. I'll be really curious to see what that looks like when it's all said and done.
When they announced the team captains, and, you know, you see some of the names, J.J. Watt, Kyler Murray, Buda Baker, Chandler Jones. You're like, okay, you know, Rodney Hudson, D.J. Humphries. Even Dennis Gardeck, right? But then when you saw Jordan Hicks, it was like, I mean, that was a surprise pick.
Yes, it was.
Here's a surprise guy. Like, you know, I mean, you're not picking him as a captain if he doesn't work his tail off, put himself in a position to help the younger players, help the team, and, you know, be what Vance Joseph needs him to be on that defense. Like, you're not naming him a captain unless A, B, C, and D go right.
Mm-hmm.
So A, B, C, and D must have went right for Jordan Hicks to be named the captain. Because, look, let's be honest. I mean, if we would have said before they named captains, okay, I'll give you seven guys that you could pick, none of us would have picked Jordan Hicks.
No, in fact, if you remember, I remember talking about this with you on the air. After preseason game number one, Jordan Hicks was on the field, and I noticed he still had the captaincy on his jersey.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, either they're using last year's jersey and they didn't have a chance to take off the patch, or they just, it was a weird dynamic to see him wearing it, and I didn't know what it meant. And I don't think he was voted captain back then, so they must just not have removed it from the jersey. But it was still a very striking visual, even in a preseason game, to know that here's Jordan Hicks, who basically was told before Zaven Collins ever put on a single pad for the Arizona Cardinal, hey, he's taking your job. It's his. It belongs to him. Sorry, you don't have a chance. That he still got that captaincy on him at the beginning, and he still has that captaincy on him now. It is. It's a testament to him. Vance Joseph was asked if he had a heart-to-heart conversation with Jordan Hicks about all that.
I think 10 heart-to-hearts. You know, I mean, 10 heart-to-hearts. It was tough on Jordan, but he's been a pro's pro, and he gets it. You know, he gets it. He was drafted in Philly when D'Amico Ryans was the starter, and he played for D'Amico, so he gets it. It's the football business side of things that happens everywhere. You know, I mean, this kid was a top 20 pick, and he's going to play. Doesn't mean that Jordan can't play. You know, that's a misconception that Zaven's here and Jordan's out. That's not right. You know, so, I mean, we could play all three backs at one time in one package, so he's going to be a big part of our defense.
Hmm.
And I give him all the credit.
Yeah.
I give him credit. And I'll tell you what, I mean, does that in some way calm some of the fears with the two young linebackers?
Yes. Yes. I feel a little bit better about the two young linebackers. Look, Jordan, there was a reason they drafted Zaven Collins. There's obviously a declining of the physical skills of Jordan Hicks that kind of necessitated the choosing of Zaven Collins, right? There are things athletically that yes. Zaven Collins can do Jordan Hicks can't.
Struggled in coverage.
Yeah, so I don't want to minimize that and say, but I will say that if the number one fear is that Zaven Collins isn't going to know what he's doing out there, I feel really good that Jordan Hicks is there to be able to spell him in those moments. If he has an Isaiah Simmons week one-like moment where he gets absolutely torched and you have to take him out and put Jordan Hicks in, I feel a lot better about that scenario.
Listen, if there's a linebacker could do a number of different things, right? He could be strong against the run. He could be in coverage. He could rush the passer. He could, you know, there's a lot of things that they could do. So if you take out his weaknesses and you say, okay, listen, you weren't really good in coverage, but we got these other two guys that run like deer, Zaven Collins, they're going to do the coverage. You don't have to run with running backs anymore. You don't have to run with tight ends anymore. You're going to support the run. You're going to lead these guys. There's other things that he could do that are probably still strengths of his game if you take out the coverage thing. Hey, you're not, you know, I got other guys that are going to cover the back and the tight end. I don't need you to do that anymore,
yeah.
But, you know, you're going to be strong support for the run. And so I do think that you could take advantage of him by limiting or eliminating the things that he's weak at.
One more real quick on Vance Joseph and how he feels about Simmons and Collins for week one.
I feel good. It's been a good camp. Obviously, having Hicks around, helping those guys grow, it's been good. They've made some mistakes, but they've also made some plays. You know, we knew it was going to be a learning process for those young guys, but
they've worked hard and they've improved every single day, you know, and Coach Davis has done a great job of spending time with those guys outside of our meetings to catch them up. And the more they play and the more they see more NFL concepts, the better they'll play. So far, so good.
Yeah, we're looking forward to their debut on Sunday, to be sure. When we come back, he's a former Defensive Player of the Year award winner. J.J. Watt, a reduced workload? Okay, now we're about to see it. What is it going to look like? That's coming up at the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
And Mitch is back with us here on the Burns and Gambo Show with today's Twitter Poll question of the day. Just a few days away from the season opener for the Cardinals as they take on the Titans.
Ooh, I can taste it.
And what does it taste like?
This pasta that I'm having right now.
Okay, good.
What does it taste like?
What does it taste like?
It has basil and tomatoes and a little white sauce. It's pretty good.
Oh, sounds fantastic.
It's kind of like, when my mom used to make sauce.
Oh.
And then, you knew it was going to be in that pot for hours and hours, but, man, you anticipated it. You smelled it. You would go over and just try to get a taste of it. Like, That's what it's like.
Would she slap your hand?
You can't have it for a while.
Yeah,
it's coming.
If you reach in with a spoon, did Mama Gambadoro slap your hand away?
We had, as an Italian family, we had two kitchens. We had an upstairs kitchen and a downstairs kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because all the mob guys used to be over my house for dinner. I mean, we were the place. We were the place for all the dinners. So we had a kitchen upstairs and a kitchen downstairs. So I was always smart when my mother... When I would see my mother go from one to the other, that's when I would take the spoon and grab a meatball or a sausage.
Not looking.
Yeah.
I would just, when I saw her going down those stairs, that was my, I knew it. I had it all planned. I had the timing down. But because two kitchens, you had to make so much sauce and all that stuff, so she'd have to go up and down the stairs all day long. And I basically had about 4 minutes. From the time she went downstairs to do what I needed to do.
That's the good thing about growing up in a mob family like that. You never had to worry about any of them ratting you out,
That's true.
Because, snitches get stitches, even when it comes to stealing a meatball out of Mama Gambadoro's pot. Everybody knows the rules. Mitch, what's our poll question today?
Our poll question today, which new Arizona Cardinal will have the biggest impact on the team's win total this season? You have four options, gentlemen. J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, Zaven Collins, Rondale Moore.
A.J. Green.
A.J. Green. Oh, look at that.
Wow,
A.J. Green.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. A.J. Green. I think it's A.J. Green.
Okay. A.J. Green. Oh, the poll just updated on me. It's still third place for A.J. Green at 25.6%. First place, 32.7% say J.J. Watt.
Mm. Okay.
Zaven Collins at 27% and Rondale Moore 14.7%.
Fairly evenly distributed for the most part.
It's a pretty good spread right
now.
Yeah,
which means we came up with a real good question. Did this question meet your approval, Gambo?
I like it.
Oh,
it's
good.
A good one.
Okay, good. That's good. Yesterday's,
solid.
Yesterday's did not. So we're just trying to make Gambo happy with the poll question today. JJ,
that's what it's all about.
It really is. It really, everything we do on Burns and Gambo is really just about trying to make Gambo happy. Every day, 4 hours. Did we make Gambo happy today? Yes, we did. JJ Watt met with the media today, speaking of newcomers. And yes, the reduction in his workload this season continues to be a topic.
I think that you can say that obviously, logically, you completely understand it and why you would do it, but also emotionally. And it all depends on how a game's flowing and how it's going. I mean, I think that having the right personnel and having the ability to do that is a big part of it as well. I think that knowing and trusting in the guys you got in the D-line room and in the outside linebacker room to step in when I do take those breaks, you have to have that trust, and I definitely have that.
Can't wait to see what that's going to look like on Sunday, Gambo.
He did have a sack against Tennessee in an overtime loss last year. He's been playing him twice for a decade, right?
Yeah.
So he knows the division. He's in the division. He's played him twice. So he played two games against Tennessee last year. They lost both games. They lost 41-38, and they also lost 42-36 in overtime. He had one sack in the overtime loss in October, and he had four tackles, and he had three tackles and no sacks in the finale when they lost January 3rd. So he's very familiar playing against them. He knows, he's been in the division for a long time. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, he can help Vance and help the defensive players because of his familiarity with that team.
It was Vance Joseph today who kind of said, I think, what a lot of us are thinking when the conversation turns to J.J. Watt and a reduction in his workload. And that is, it's very easy to say it. It's something else to actually do it.
It's going
to
be hard because he wants the goal. But last year he played 1,000-plus snaps for Houston, and that's a good sign, you know. But we have depth at D-line this year. We've got seven guys that we like. You know, that can all be starters. You know, Dogby and Lucky and those guys have grown a lot. And Zach Allen's a grown man finally, you know. So we like our group, so he doesn't have to play every snap here in Arizona, you know, and we can still win games. And it keeps him fresh. It keeps him fresh for third downs. It keeps him fresh for the fourth quarters. I mean, it's gonna be a grind Sunday to stop this run game and to obviously cover those receivers. And it's going to be hot, you know, so he has to get used to, obviously, just playing his role. And obviously, you know, I mean, he's going to make plays, but when it's time to rest, he should rest. And that's going to be hard to do for JJ, but we'll figure it out.
You know what I keep thinking of, Gambo? I swear, that whole soundbite, I kept thinking of Chris Paul and the Suns. How,
trying to keep him fresh?
Yeah, about how before we saw Chris Paul play with the Suns, I think the conversation was, okay, they got to work to keep him fresh. They got to manage his minutes. They got to manage his load, blah, 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 blah. They never did. They never did. There was never, you watched every single one of those games just like I did. There was never any express purpose of trying to manage Chris Paul's minutes at all. He played. He played all the time. He played when he shouldn't have played, probably. Yep. And I wonder if it'll be the same way with J.J. Watt when it's all said.
You know, it's interesting that Vance said how hot it was going to be. I was just looking at their weather out there, right? It's 85, high as 85 today, 87 tomorrow, 90 Saturday, high of 94 on Sunday.
Toasty. For Nashville, that's toasty. There's probably a little humidity mixed in there, too. Yeah,
it's going to be, the high is 94. That's and then it goes down to 85 on Tuesday, but 94 on Sunday. So that's the hottest day that they've got in the forecast that I'm looking at for the next 2 weeks. That's the hottest day. It'll be Sunday.
Yeah. J.J. Watt also spoke today about the vibe of this team.
The whole team here has got a great vibe. I love being out of practice. I love being in the locker room after practice. I mean, we're sitting in there for 45 minutes, an hour, when you could be gone home already, and we're in there arguing about the best burger joint in town. You know, like, it's just like those types of things are what you love, and that's also the sign of a team that's got great chemistry and camaraderie, and it feels great.
I want to play one more on that.
You know what that reminds me of?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That reminds me of the Diamondbacks World Series team.
Yeah.
When you couldn't get Luis Gonzalez and Mark Grace out of the damn clubhouse.
Yep. Gracie used to talk about that all the time, how they would just sit around for hours after those games, right?
I mean, I honestly, God, there were times like, dude, guys, I gotta go. I gotta go. Like, I gotta leave. Because we would just, you know, after everything was over, like, I mean, those guys were veteran leaders. Nobody said, hey, you know, you everybody's got to get out. So if you were sitting there talking to those guys, nobody would bust your chops. And but those guys hated to leave the clubhouse. They loved to talk shop. And that, when JJ said that, it very much reminded me of the, you know, a few of the leaders on that 2001 World Series Diamondback team who loved to talk baseball after the games were over for hours.
Yeah, here's one more from JJ. It's a little long, but it's good, about how he's going to try to lead on this team.
In my personal opinion as a leader is to lead by example. So I just try and lead with the right work ethic and at practice and in the weight room and in the meetings and being on time and all these things, just doing it right so that the young guys see it. And they see a guy that's been in the league for 10-plus years, and they want to be in the league for 10-plus years. So they say, okay, if he's on time, if he's working out, if he's doing these things, that must be a good way to do them. And then I also think that just sitting at the lunch table with guys, and like I've said a million times, talking to them, learning, just being one of the guys, you earn that trust and you earn that respect. And then when you do have to say something, when that time does come where there's a conversation that needs to be had, or there's a moment in the game where something needs to be said, then it's impactful. Then it actually means something. I think if you're giving a big speech every single day to the guys, it drowns out real quick. It gets old. You got to understand and have that pulse of the team to know when you can say something and how it's going to be impactful and when is the right opportunity. So I think it's really important to first ingratiate yourself, get yourself in there and get the trust and know, let these guys know that we're all on the same page, on the same team. And then if I have to have a hard conversation, I will.
Mm. Are you ready for this, Spurrency? I'm going to put you on the spot, but you're really good at this when we do these.
Hit me.
He had 20.5 sacks in 2012, 20.5 in 2014, 17.5 in 2015. He's only a few years removed from 16 sacks. In 2018, he had 16. But last year, in a full 16 games, he had 5 sacks. What do you think is the over-under on sacks for J.J. Watt this year?
12.5.
Oh, I'm taking the under.
12.5.
I was going to say like 8.5 over-under. You think 12.5? Okay.
If you're setting it at 12.5, I'm taking the under.
You're taking the
Me
under, too.
Me, too. You're usually good at this. I don't know. I don't know about that one. That seems kind of high for a guy who...
All right, I might have been a little ambitious. Mitch, would you take the under, too? Did I fail miserably on this one?
I think 13 is possible.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Okay, no, listen, I hope you're right. I mean, how great would that be?
All right,
well, if he averages a sack a game.
But as we're going to learn in the next segment about how sports gambling works here in Arizona, see, me as the line setter, as soon as Jordan and you and Mitch and Kellen Olsen all bet the under, I'm just going to move the line, all right? I'm just, oh, okay, I clearly set the line too high, so now I'm just going to move it down to like 9.5 and then start getting some bets over that, and then I just take everybody's money. I mean, that's how that works, right? That's what we're talking about.
I'm going to say that he's right around...
Right around eight and a half, nine
sacks.
Okay. It might have been a little high. Sorry, I didn't mean to let you down. Usually I am pretty good at that, but that might have been a little ambitious for that kind of number. We've got the Burns and Gambo podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone, your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. So, after months of buildup, sports gambling has officially and legally come to Arizona. Is it going to change how you watch games here in the Valley? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. And welcome to a new era in Phoenix sports. Legalized sports gambling. Up, running, fully operational. FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, Caesars, WynnBet, all taking sports bets right now. We've seen press conferences from downtown Phoenix. We saw a live unveiling Gambo at Chase Field. With Derek Hall was there, Luis Gonzalez was there, Trey Wingo was there.
Man.
The Suns tweeted out, here's the newest addition to the Footprint Center, 40 HD TVs, 35-foot video wall, 26 self-service gambling kiosks, 5 betting windows, so much more, see it for yourself, doors open at 9 a.m. today. And I'm looking at a picture at it right now, and it's a giant room with a bunch of little ATM-looking machines where you can just walk right up and you can place your bets.
I would love to hear, just on Twitter, how many people took advantage of today? How many people went and made a bet? Who'd you bet on? Did you bet on a game tonight? Did you bet on a different sport? I mean, I would love to get a feel for how many people actually said, okay, I'm going to go make a bet today. I got something in the mail today. It said, FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of the NFL. Don't just watch, win. $5, win $200 on any week one team. It's in my mail. It came in my mail today. Bet $5, win $200. Now, I don't know what the deal is with that, but you're going to tell me if I bet $5 on a team to win and they win, I get $200?
They're just hoping you'll create an account, get you into the fold a little bit. You'll like it. You'll get that feeling. You'll get that juice, right, George?
Every one of these apps are running some sort of promotional, enticement like that. In fact, I was talking to the guys in the Webflower before the start of the show, and they were saying that if you go through each of the apps that are now available to use sports gambling here in Arizona, they're through some sort of thing that they figured out, you can put down as little as $5 through all of the apps and get $1,000 in free money to bet on if you take advantage of all the promotional offers.
I mean, that's what this one is. Pick any team, bet $5, win $200. Promo code. And it's got a promo code. All I got to do is I'm going to be honest with you, right? It's almost stupid not to do it. I get $5 to win $200.
You're right. It's almost stupid not to do it.
It's almost dumb.
I might as well try it, right? Yeah.
But I don't know if, do I got to put $500 in the account? Do I got to put it down? What do I got to do to really get this deal? Can I really bet $5, win $200, and close the – I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to go online and search it. But it's almost like you're really going to turn down to what you – pick one team. If they win, they're going to give you $200.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird day. Because for some, it's not that big of a deal at all. They've been betting on sports for years here in Arizona. They've just been doing it through these offshore websites and apps and things like that. Some people might actually have a bookie. Some people drive up to Vegas and make their bets. I know you've made it very clear where you stand on this. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Your money is your money. You're not in the mood to give it away to anybody, so you don't think you're going to be tempted at all to gamble of this.
No, but I encourage people. It's your money. You can do what you want with your money. Nobody should tell you what to do with your money unless you're doing something illegal. Like, you're doing something illegal, that's completely different. Like, if you're going to buy a bunch of drugs, that are, okay, that's different. But if it's legal, and it is, and you want to bet on sports, then go bet on sports. If you enjoy it, go do it. Who am I or anybody to tell you, no, you shouldn't do it? And most people, I would imagine most people are responsible. They go in and say, yeah, you know what? I got a little discretionary income. I'm going to bet $100 a week, and I'm going to enjoy it, have fun. If I win 50 or I lose 50, it's not going to be the be-all, end-all. I do worry about the people that, you know, could go overboard and end up losing their house and their wife and their kids and their job, because that, you know, that I am worried. I'd worry about that. But again, it's your life. It's your money. You work for your money. As long as you're not doing anything illegal, do what you want to do with your money.
Yeah,
I've always said that. Always.
You were surprised a little bit. We were talking pre-show, and Jordan mentioned now that it's legal, you know, maybe creating an account and throwing down a few bucks every now and then. I got to admit, now that it's, I don't want to jump through the hoops I've got some friends who have kind of mastered the art of betting on sports before today, and I didn't really feel like going through any of that. But now that it's legal, available, easy, I don't think I'm going to do it a lot. But I've said this for years, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but every year my friends and I would go to Vegas for March Madness, and it is amazing how even something as dumb as $10 on a game, how much your interest level in that game is dramatically enhanced just by $10 on whether Mississippi is going to cover the 4.5-point spread. Suddenly you are very engaged at the end of that game, and it's a real adrenaline surge, even over something as dumb as $10.
See, and this
Jordan.
Is what I'm curious about, specifically with that scenario you laid out. I mean, the reason you go to Vegas for March Madness is the excitement of being in a sports book, right?
Yeah.
So do you think you will still go to Vegas for March Madness, or will you set up shop here locally in one of the many sports books that are now in town? Because you're still going to get that same, well, maybe it's not going to be on the same level as Las Vegas. That might be an overstatement, but you're still going to have that energy of other people having a vested interest in the outcome.
My group of friends and I have talked about it, and I think we're still going to go, but I'm not so sure that we will, and I'll be curious to see how this impacts Vegas' business and what to do. Yeah, but the weird thing for me, Gambo, is really, honestly, I mean, it was what, just 3-4 years ago that the NFL shut down Tony Romo's fantasy football convention in Las Vegas, and now we're opening up sports books outside of Chase Field
because of money. There's money to be made.
Yeah, in fact,
there is money to be made, and now that it's, like, you know, legalized and there's taxes. Look, people were going to bet anyway, like you just said, right? Why not
tax
legalize it.
Yeah.
And tax it and have control over it instead of having bookies, you know, doing it and then, you know, hiring, you know, people like, you know, my family to break your legs if you don't pay your money.
That's the extreme. Well, let's not do that. Let's instead talk about J.J. Watt and what he said about it today.
Before I feel like I'm going to have a sack, I'll run up there and throw some cash on the line. No, I don't have any thoughts on it. I mean, I think that obviously it's very clear that that's sports gambling is being integrated into the leagues, and they're embracing it now where they were once pushing against it in a big way. So I think that there's clearly a push that way. It's only going to continue to move that way. And if people are interested in the games and it makes them interested in the games, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the expectations very high in Tennessee, but that doesn't mean there aren't some major concerns surrounding the Titans this season. We'll get the latest on the Cardinals' week one opponent next on the Burns and Gambo show.